Can you hear me? They clap for you when you come up and when you leave. They really never do that for me. Thanks a lot. Jody, if you would put that up real quick, that what you just had. Yeah, I just want to share with you three ways to give. Giving online is super convenient to give, and so if you haven't done that, try that. It's a huge blessing. You can do a text to give, or you can do it the old-fashioned way through checks or cash. We will take that as well, and that will be a huge blessing. Today, we're going to do things a little bit different today. I really sense, really before the youth went to camp, and but I wasn't quite sure. Then when they went, I really felt that they were supposed to share. But typically when youth share after camp, you get a couple of youth come forward and they're like, "Woo, I'm in love with Jesus. It was a great week." And it's like, "Woo," and everybody claps for them, and that's great. You know, that's enough. So I'm really not wanting the youth leaders and the youth to come, and I've asked about 13 of them, and so that's going to be an interesting thing to do in 30 minutes. So we will see how that goes. But my envision for today is not for them to get up and say, "Whoo, I fell in love with Jesus. That was great," and y'all clap for them. But I really saw it this way, that we sent 40 of our teenagers to a conference to get fed, to learn, to grow, and for them to come back to us and give us the Cliff Notes version of that conference. What can we learn with what happened to you? When you were touched by God through that word, please tell us that word so we can get touched as well. So it's today is not meant to be, "Wow, I had a great time at camp," but this is what I learned for us. And how does that affect Go Church? How God transformed their lives transform our lives? So if our those 13, I think, maybe it's 14, begin to make your way up, and you just kind of make a line up here, I have a few questions for you. Not everybody's going to be able to answer all the questions, and we'll just kind of see how this goes. And so, these are just a handful of them. All right. George went too, guys. It was awesome. And so, Cedric, I'm going to start with you. Would you mind just, the theme of the camp was new air. And did I say George? Cedric? You're Cedric. You're George. All right. I need to learn that. And so, Cedric, and the theme was new air. And on the phone yesterday, you were just sharing just with brevity what that meant.
So thank you. New era is pretty much summed up to going from old to new, right? So allowing God to move in your life in every area, really. And for the youth, it was hugely impactful, as well as the leaders. As you'll hear from the panel, you'll hear countless stories. Hopefully we have enough time to get through all of them. But it really meant a new era, and I do believe that is also for the church body. We are in a new era. Our youth group is in a new era. If you're going off to college, it's a new era as well. And I do want to take a minute, if you don't mind, really point out all of the hard work that an individual did for us. That is Miss Sue. If we can clap
Woo-hoo!
It up for Miss Sue. Yeah. When I say, I'll take literally 30 seconds. When I say she was the glue for all of this, administrative work, the phone calls, the emails, the tracking of the expenses, the follow-ups. Even when we got to youth camp CFNI at youth, there was a mix-up with the room, handling all the stresses of that, and then having to go continue on the leadership aspect of leading the youth. So amazing job, and we really do appreciate that, and thank you.
Cedric, I'm not gonna let you go too quick. The new era, the biblical theme was, just 1 second, so the biblical theme was what?
Isaiah 43:19, a new thing. That is the scripture.
Didn't you talk about Moses crossing over?
Oh, well, I was going to share that a little later, but I'll share now. If you don't mind, a couple bullets. When we first started the week, and I don't want to take away what the Holy Spirit can do wherever your physical location is in the room, but the first 2 days, we were sitting on top of the balcony. And, you know, just logistics-wise, it was kind of hard to see the stage. When you stand up, it's blocking you off. And when you sat down, it's like, okay, are you really being impacted? We really didn't feel that impact. So Monday, Tuesday, it's like, eh. So the leaders, we got together, regrouped, and said, you know what, let's move down. Right? Let's move down. So symbolically, if you want to hear some powerful stories, ask the youth. If we don't have time today, ask them at home in the car. Wednesday and Thursday, powerful, powerful, powerful transition. It was literally like a crossing over. And that was symbolic because the message we heard on Thursday was about Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt and the crossing over across the Red Sea. When the Red Sea closes, it was symbolic of that very same thing, crossing over, leaving your old luggage. Oh, man. Manny was awesome. Leaving your luggage behind, not taking it with you, drowning your sins, drowning your struggles. It was amazing.
Cool. Yeah. And guys, and I'm not saying this because you did anything wrong. We'll try to keep our answers to less than 2 minutes. And so he's did fine. What I just heard you say, and Sue, I'll let you speak. What I just heard you say is I grew up Southern Baptist, and we called them back row Baptists. I would say if you want to get the much of the worship, you just come forward a little bit. All right. Okay. I heard that. Good, good. Sue.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say, I could not have done it, could not have done what I did for YFN without my leaders. I promise you, they were amazing, and I am so grateful for each and every one of them. Y'all, most of the worship team, 80% of our worship team was our leaders, and they came back, and they just led worship. You know, I mean, they didn't have a chance to practice all week long, and yet they came back and they poured themselves back out into our worship. So they were amazing, and I can't tell you how appreciative I am of each and every one of them. So thank you. Thank you so much, and thank them, please. So, you know, a lot of times we can get ourselves focused on some things that you know, the enemy wants to try and steal what God is doing in your heart and in the things. And so there was a lot of things that happened during the week, and it was intense. It was intense, and I'm an intense person, and I just, yeah, you know, yada, okay. And I got focused on one thing, and it was stealing me from what the whole thing was. And so God revealed that to me last night. And then this morning during that last song, let me just explain to you that the first night was John Bevere. And, yeah, he was amazing. And one of the things he was talking about is walking with a heart of repentance. He said, God made your calling beyond your ability, so you will be dependent completely on him to fulfill it. And I did not have the ability to do this week, but God gave that to me. I have to depend. And then he said, repentance is a gift that will liberate us. Repentance is more than just a change of mind. It's a change of our whole personality. And he said that we're supposed to live a life of repentance, not a not just repent to come to be saved, but as God reveals through our hearts the areas of our sin where we have messed up, we just repent there, and then you continue to walk your life, you know, without the sin. And so I have to repent. Because there was a point during the week where I lost my compassion. And I didn't have a heart that had compassion that showed the love that Pastor Lee was talking about this morning. And so I had to repent of that and ask the Lord to forgive me and ask you guys to forgive me. Because I got so wrapped up in what was happening, and it was just, it was intense. And so, you know, I just, that is really the main thing was that that living that heart of repentance and realizing the areas of our lives when we mess up, just right then, just make it right, you know? And then the other thing, the next morning, thank God, we had the evening service, and then the next day, the leadership. And John Bevere spoke again, and he was talking about the fear of the Lord versus the love of God. And he was saying that the thing that we need now is to have a fear of the Lord, because it's the fear of the Lord. Hold on. Where is it? The fear of God keeps you from sin, not the love of God. Mm. And that his delight is when we fear him, and that we don't want to lose that fear of God. And so those were some of the things that really spoke to my heart. And can I take another minute? I'll come back.
Let me ask all of y'all real quick, can you give me not all of y'all need to answer this question, but a scripture that just really stood out to you in the conference. Is any one of y'all that, is there anyone? Quote or scripture? Sebastian.
Quote or a scripture?
Either one.
So when I got back, we went with Next Level Ministries and Andrew and Jess, and they are awesome. Those kids are lucky to have them. They are awesome people, awesome leaders. So when I got back, I got home and I had a text from Andrew, and he said, quote of the week, why are you here? And it turns out that was my quote. When we got together like the second or third day, I was very, very convicted that all of the youth there needed to really, really know why they're there. Not just to have fun and play games, but to, and Erica answered the question. She said, to encounter God.
Whoop, whoop.
Exactly.
Way to go, Erica. That's my daughter.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And I thanked her for, because Erica, we all know Erica, and she's so awesome and she's so quiet, but she had the boldness to answer that question, and so I thought that was awesome.
Amen.
But yeah, I just wanted everybody to know why they were there. So.
Amen.
Sebastian.
Did I just get my testimony? Or like
just the quote.
Remember what day it was? I think it was the day after Revere. Second day. I remember he said something like this: "I am not holy because I resist worldly things, but my holiness is a byproduct from my love for Him."
Wow,
so that was quite powerful.
That's good. Would you read that again for everybody? Read that again.
I am not holy because I resist worldly things, but my holiness is a byproduct from my love for Him.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Anybody else have a quote in Scripture? All right.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So,
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I have a quote, and it was on Wednesday night when Manny Arango was preaching, and he said something like, you may not care about the gift you receive from the person, but sometimes the person who gives you that gift cares more about the gift than you. And really, like, it kind of, like, impacted me because, like, you know, you can be, like, what do you call it? Not really, like, thankful for everything you have. So, you know, it was just pretty deep to hear that because, yeah.
Next question. Why is what happened to you, this is an interesting question, why is what happened to you important to us?
Well, this week, I feel like that happened because I knew I was going to wife, and I was like, okay, God, let me open my heart to receive what you have in store for me so I can actually pay attention and stuff, so.
Awesome. Man, somebody else? Go ahead, George.
So I'm in a unique position. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. And there are three things that mature us in life, and that's buying a house, getting married, and having kids. So I have a unique position in this, in really in life, but I have a unique position to speak to these young people. I felt like I went to camp, and at the last day, I was just like, I wished I could have gone to this when I was their age, because I needed somebody to tell me, hey, your parents really do love you, but they're not perfect. You know, when, you know, I'm growing up and parents are arguing and mom's throwing dishes and dad's drunk and you're just in your room helpless crying. You can't, you know, you have no control over what's happening. I needed somebody to tell me your parents still love you, but they're not perfect. They're not. And all these things, all these, the things that their brain, all y'all's brains are sponges right now. They're soaking up everything around them. And those things that happen, the habits that you build, the things that you think are going to stick with you for the rest of their lives. So for me, I really wanted to bring, to be a better example and for y'all guys to know, all y'all young guys to know that, you know, we weren't born this age, you know, we went through all this stuff. And that's a quote from Maria. She mentioned that we weren't born this age. We grew up and went through all this already. So that was what it got for me, or what I got from it, and what I want to pass on to all the youth here. So
I heard two things there. I heard the importance of the body of Christ for the kids, whether they're 9 years old or 15, mm-hmm. that they needed someone to walk them through when they're in a home that's at times destructive, the importance of the body. I also heard, what is your phone number so all the single ladies can okay. All right.
I'll pay you later.
Why is what happened to you important to us? Anybody else want to share? Somebody that hasn't shared? Come on. Sebastian, make it quick, but yes, take it over.
I'll try to go as quick as possible. Okay.
Have you noticed all the men are sharing? That's kind of a good thing, right? And so, but not that the ladies would be a bad thing, not to imply that. That sounded horrible. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so beginning of YFN, I wasn't very, well, I'm going to tell y'all why this is important for y'all, my experience. So this week was very powerful for me because before coming into YFN, I was kind of far from the Lord, and I wasn't enjoying worship. But I didn't want to worship because I don't want it to be forced. I wanted it to be a byproduct of my love for him. So what I did was I prayed about it, and on one of the days, the Lord showed me, and I had this worship with me, Gio, and this kid we met from our nation, and we were just praying, and I was touched, and my love for him, like, I was worshiping because of my love for him, and it wasn't forced, it was all natural. And I also believe that has correlation with tithing, that you should tithe because it's your love, it's a byproduct of your love for him, not because you're forced. So, also, I used to get anxiety because when I was younger, my father passed from cancer, so I always had anxiety and fear that whenever I would get sick, I would have thoughts of the enemy. But after this trip, I've gotten closer to the Lord, and now I know it's just a figure of my imagination and from the enemy. So I think it's powerful for y'all that the closer you are to God, the clearer God will be, and the farther you are from God, the enemy will be clearer.
I think it's also very important to say something about Sebastian's father. So, I'm a graduate of Christ for the Nations Institute. Sebastian's father is a graduate of Christ for the Nations Institute. God healed Sebastian of that fear at Christ for the Nations. That's a cool thing. So let me just clarify my man point. Too often in the body of Christ, it is dominated, there are more women than men. and we want men and women. Men and women can be used in the body of Christ. And so that is not to demote any of the ladies. It's just very exciting to see men rise up as well. And so I just wanted to clarify that. All right. Kaylee, if in a minute, without in any of your testimonies, if they include names of men, of someone you ministered to, let's leave those out of the equation. But could you just share what Manning did, if you can do that really quickly, just the story of how he prophesied over all three of y'all and then how y'all in turn go for it.
Right, yeah. Okay, so so there was three of us girls, and I can say the name, but not to who I minister to. So it was me, Anna, and Maureen. We were in line to meet Manny because I wanted to, we wanted to tell him that he was so good and everything. And there, I was like, it's too long. I don't want to wait here. Like, we should go. And then Maureen is like, yeah, I don't know what to say, so should we probably go? But it's just, at that time, we were just, you know, talking, and it just went by fast. So we got to him, and I was like, oh, my goodness. It was so amazing. Like, tonight was like the best night so far and everything. And he's like, oh my goodness, thank you. And so Maureen wanted prayer specifically for her. And so he's like, yeah, I'll pray for you, but can I pray for y'all first? And so we were like, yeah. And he asked her name. He's like, Kaylee, Anna, Maureen. Kaylee, Anna, Maureen. Anna, Maureen. He just made sure he was, you know, he had her names, our names down correctly, and he just repeated it like 9 times. And I was like, you know, I was like, okay. And he just began to praying, and he prayed for me first, and he goes, God, I just thank you for Kaylee and the leader she is. And I was like, how did he know that? You know, like, I don't know, like, I'm a pastor, and, like, I just, like, I don't know, it was just crazy what he said. And he goes to Anna, and, you know, I was, like, expecting, like, he'll probably say, and for Anna being the influence, I was just kind of, like, thinking he will go that way. But no, he said, and for Anna being, you know, having intercessory, you know, and then to Maureen, he goes, and Maureen for having the compassion towards other, and for, you know, being there for other people. And we were like, we left, and we realized that literally everything he spoke over us was us. And we were like, oh my goodness, that's so crazy, because Anna is like prayer and everything, and Maureen is the same way, and me and everything. And we went, and that same night, we all got the, like, that Manny, he had like spoken, he was speaking, and we all thought, okay, this is for that person. You know, this is for her, but she wasn't there. So we're like, we have to go to the room. Maria took us to the room, and she's like, you guys need to, like, you know, tell her this is what happened tonight. She needs to hear this word because she missed out. And so we all went after Manny had prayed over us, and we just went there, and, like, we were just talking to her. We were encouraging her and everything. And I was like, okay, can we pray for you and everything? And we just all prayed. Me, Anna, and Maureen were, like, praying for her. And then Anna's like, oh, my goodness, you know what just happened? We just literally did what Manny just prayed, like, over us. So I prayed, she prayed, Maureen was hugging. She's, like, compassionate. She's encouraging everything. And for me, that was, like, whoa, like, it was just amazing. And, like, I just fell more in love. It's just his, yeah, it was really powerful. Whatever he did, it's like.
Amen.
For sure.
I don't know if I have like a testimony, I guess, but I felt like the new era was like very important in my life because I don't know. I feel like, oh, it's already really loud. Because I feel like a lot of you guys have known me for so long. Like, you've known me before high school. You've known me, like, in high school. But right now, I'm, like, stepping into a new era. Because, like, I have to grow up and, like, be a teacher. And, like, I'm being a leader now. And, like, people are watching me. And, like, it's so easy for me since all of you know me as, like, this young person. Like, I don't want to step into the new era. But, like, like, I don't know. Going to YFN and, like, seeing how, like, Grayson and Avia and were, like, looking up to me and, like, even maybe Sadie, but she's, like, already a grown-up, so I don't know. But, like, I don't know. That just kind of, like, changed a lot. And now I know kind of more, like, what I need to do is, like, act like a grown-up and be a grown-up. And
she
I don't know.
She did. She did. She just jumped in. It was awesome.
Amen. Woo-hoo.
So the first night we had an altar call for, we had to like, it was a very personal one where we had to like bow your heads and close your eyes, and then you had to stand up, so it was like anonymous, and then John Revere had everyone go down. We were in the balcony, remember? He had everyone go down, and I knew that I should have stood up, but I let the enemy get a hold of me, and I was that one person who just didn't want to be seen standing up. But then everyone stood up around me, so I was like, oh, I really should have gone. So when everyone was walking down, I was like, I'll just go now. But I felt like a physical barrier keeping me from going down the stairs and all down there. So I was just like, I guess I'll just receive the word from here. So I was at the top, and it was just, I moved. I felt something physical like pushing me to the middle of the stage, to where I was aligned with everyone, the rest of the balcony and everyone below. So I didn't know why I felt I did that, but like I just felt a physical like spirit pushing me. So he had everyone lift their hands. So I did, and then I started like crying and like weeping, and then I opened my eyes and I saw like gold dust sprinkling down from the ceiling and like on my fingertips, and it was just raining over everyone, and it was like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. So I was like, I was just so like in shock. So I looked to this guy on my left, and I was like, do you see this? And he was like, he was really tall, and he just looked like perfect. And he was like, yes, isn't it beautiful? And then I was like, yes, it felt like a dream. So I told him, I have to close my eyes again, make sure that it's real. So I closed my eyes, and like I opened it, and it was gone. And I looked to my left, and that man was gone. And it was just me and Anna in the row. So that means that I encountered an angel, guys. Like it was so crazy. And he was really tall, and I was just like, you see that? And he was like, yeah. And it was just so amazing to see how, like, I've always heard of stories of people with the gold dust, because I know it's not, like, people have seen it before. And I was so jealous. I'm like, I want to see that. So I feel like God kept me up there in the balcony so I can see all of his presence reigning over everyone in the service. And God's presence was in there that night. So I was just very thankful, because I've never encountered an angel before, and that was, like, the best thing ever.
So there's a lot that I want to share, but I know I have limited time. But I do want to say that there was a night during worship that we were just praising the Lord. And while we were worshiping, I forgot what song we were singing. But I told God, I was like, God, here I am. Speak to me, something like that. I just said, here I am, like, let me hear something from you. And then we kept singing, and then I was like, no, you know what, God, never mind. I'm here to exalt you, and I'm here to praise your name, to glorify you, to honor you, even if I don't get a direct message from you, like, direct message, not DM. I'm still going to worship you. I am here to glorify you and exalt you. If that's it, then that's it. And then after we sang the song that we were singing, the assistant director, he came on stage and he basically said the same exact thing. He said, don't be here expectant of something. Just exalt him and worship him and honor him, then the rest will come. And I that blessed me, and I feel like for any child of God, when you're going through something and you want to ask God for this and that, and God give me this, God give me this, that, stop it and just praise him for what he has done and for the things that he will do.
Okay, so Wednesday night was really, really powerful.
so powerful that the director of YFN, he was like, you know what, we usually do this Thursday night, the last night of YFN, but Wednesday night was so powerful that we did this on Wednesday night. And he said, every youth group get together, and I don't know whose idea it was, I don't know if it was his or someone over here, that everybody was gonna be prayed for, all the kids, all the teens. And, you know, girls with girls, guys with guys. And I thought, oh no. Like, we were the leaders, you know, it was Carolina, Shelly, Miss Maria, and I. And so we counted, it was 17 girls. And I was like, oh gosh. I was like, God, I don't want to. Like, I haven't done this in a long time. I haven't prayed for people in a long time. What do I say? Like, I don't want to. And I forget about everything. I'm like, but he was just like, go, just do it. And I was like, okay, so I went. And it was so powerful because I didn't have to, you know, plan my prayer. I know you're not supposed to plan your prayers. I just went for it. I went over to a girl and I hugged her and I just started speaking. I didn't pray like, God, can you do this? I just started speaking like in first person, like God is, you know, God, you know, saying, for example, so I'll say a little piece. I was like, I'm still here with you. And I said her name. I'm right here for you. And, you know, it was a lot. And I prayed for like a few girls. And I was like, it was almost like God was saying, see, you can do it. Or like, see, all you have to do is just go. And I thought, go, like that was the word that stuck. And I thought, this is go church. So yeah, we're usually scared of doing things because we think it's us. It's not us. We're his vessels, right? So we don't have to think, oh, I'm not ready, I'm not prepared, I didn't go to Bible school, I didn't do any of this. Doesn't matter, just go. Amen.
Okay, so hi, everybody. I went into YFN, well, expecting that God would show me like what the next step is for my life, because I'm going to be a senior in the fall, and I still don't know what I'm going to study in college, and I was just expecting him to reveal that to me, because for the past few months I've been praying about that every day, that he would reveal his will for me and show me what the next step is. But at YFN, God told me I shouldn't be anxiously waiting for him to give me something or to do something. I need to be desperately seeking him. So instead of seeking his will, I need to be seeking him and not his will, and I was doing the opposite of that. So I just want to encourage y'all, if you're looking, I don't know, for your next career, for college, seek him first, and all these things will happen. I don't know, well, but yeah, that's nice.
That's good. That's good.
Sorry, I will be quick. So Thursday night was very similar to Wednesday night, where we got the youth together and prayed. So just want to share a quick story. We're praying over the youth. Georgian's over and says, hey, you know, let's pray for so-and-so. So we do that, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. And we were done, and I didn't feel like it was enough. I think God was saying there needs to be more. So Hilda's walking back, and I say, Hilda, here's the situation. And she said, hey, you ever consider going down to the front? And this auditorium is huge, like a 1,200-seater, just the bottom line. So I'm like, okay, fine. We can go like kind of halfway. There's a bunch of staff that are in black shirts that says staff, probably hundreds, like just ready to pray our prayer. And so George and I, we start walking down with this person, and I don't know why I felt like God was saying go further. So we end up making our way past halfway, and if you follow me on Instagram, I have a video about how actually Anna shared that video with me, and I put it on Instagram. When I say it's like a mosh pit, so how are you going to get through to get to the front? And I don't know how, but I felt like a way was just paved, and it wasn't even that hard at all. I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, this is so many people jumping. Ah, it's crazy. So we get down to the front, and it's loud. Georgia can attest that it was loud. So I don't know why I point out this one individual, and I said, hey, here's so-and-so, and here's what we need. He couldn't hear me. He pulled out the phone, and he says, just text me. So I started texting what's going on, and he says, oh, I was actually delivered from the same exact thing. I was like, okay, it's got to be a God moment. God doesn't make accidents. God's very intentional. So I'm like, okay, we start praying. And remember, I said it was loud. He couldn't even hear what I was saying. When this young person started praying, it was the coolest thing. George is like this because it's so loud. his prayers come through so clear. I can hear every single word that he's saying. Even when he started praying in the spirit, I could hear every single word. And then he looks at me and says, you know, the pastor that helped me walk through this is from Katy. And I'm like, how does he even know I'm from Katy? There's hundreds of people in staff. Why him? Why the same unique situation? Why Katy? And then I just break down in tears, and because it impacted me. Because, and I'm gonna share what I want everybody to get from this. And then he goes on and further says, and if you don't mind, I'll say the name of the church. He says, have you ever heard of Grace Fellowship Church? And I'm just like, how is this possible? There's hundreds of people and staff. I'm just crying in tears. And he's like, you know, ministering for me now. I'm like, that's not what we came here for, right? We came here for so-and-so, not me. It was so amazing. And so what I wanted to share out of that experience, A, is that God doesn't make accidents. He's very intentional. B is don't try to outthink God, because sometimes I try to, you know, based on like what I do for work, I try to logically say, here's what's going to happen. Don't try to outthink God. And really the third thing, which I think is the most powerful thing, is your situation is not too big for God, right? He is very intentional about why you're going through that. Seek him and he can get you through it, just like the crossing over the Red Sea. He can drown your situation in there and you can step into a new era. So I really want to share that because it was very powerful for leaders and campers. So, George, thank you for that as well. And Hilda, thank you for that as well.
Y'all stay up. Would you give them a hand clap? I want to speak to all the campers that are out there and up here. Carolina, I think you spoke something very, very powerful people watch y'all. And the campers that are out here, you know, y'all know it better than I do. Style is created by young people, not old people. Y'all are influencers. And what y'all do out there beyond the walls of a community called Go Church, people are watching. And people model what they see in y'all. It's so important that we live a life that Jesus, the people see Jesus, because you are such influencers of the people. You don't know that people are watching you. One very quick story. 20 years ago, I worked at a funeral home, and I'm sitting here with an elderly man, and the elderly man, they knew I was planning a church at the time, and the elderly man, he said, see all the other employees? He said, they're all watching you. They're wanting to see if you'll mess up. They're wanting to see if you'll tell the dirty joke like they will. They'll want to hear when you stump your toe if you're going to curse like they do. He said, they're waiting for you to mess up to say Lee's just like the rest of them. He said, I want to tell you that they are watching you. And I was 30 years old. And I was like, that's crazy. These guys are like 50, 60 years old, you know. But they were watching my life. You were sent to New Era to bring forth a new era. Go and make it happen. Go and change your world. Come and change Go Church. Let's do this thing. Amen? Amen? Amen. I don't know who, but I think one of them are going to close us out in prayer. I hope you glean something more out of this than hearing, hey, camp was great. I hope they imparted something in us that we walk away with and going, wow, that's who we want to become as a church. Would you stand with me? Who's going to bring down the house? I don't know who it is. Shammy, you're supposed to bring down the house and close us out in prayer in what God did in the youth, but how that comes to us.
Father, I want to thank you for this week that we had with you. A week where we could just dedicate all of our attention to you. I pray, Lord, that every single thing that we received over there, that we will be able to, that it would become so contagious that everybody will just be, we touch everybody and then everybody has it because we're so contagious with it. I pray that you help us to cross over from Egypt to the promised land, to new things that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that you break all the things that don't belong you break them off and you start to restore, you start to prepare us, you start to empower us so that we can go and do what we're supposed to do and take away any fear that we may have, any doubt, any self-doubt that says, no, you can't, you're not ready, you're not old enough, you're not educated enough, whatever it is, you're not anointed enough. I rebuke those lies right now in the name of Jesus, and I declare that we will all go because you have prepared us, you touched us all, and we're going to just go and obey your voice, listening to your voice. I pray for obedience. I pray for just submission to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. And as we leave, do go and go and love on people this week. God bless y'all. Have a great week. Bless you. See you next week right here at Hutzel.